We're coming in with our musical guests music, and we're excited to have our musical guests back. But right now we are having an interview with Harry Bennett, and we were talking about the Keystone XL pipeline coming through Kansas.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, in 2010, that summer, we got to witness close up and personal the construction of a major pipeline. And I've worked construction, built bridges and things in my past, and I I'd never been around a project as large and as invasive as this was. I mean, this was super. And you know, it had all of those, you know, of course it comes with an education piece, and then, you know, and it was then that I heard, you know, I became a climate activist, and I heard Jim Hansen's, the best description I've ever heard of a pipeline is that it is a fuse to the largest carbon bomb on the earth in Canada.
Well, that's a great way to
describe it. And that's essentially what it was.
Yeah.
And so a number of other, there were other things, but it was not a minor cause of us deciding that maybe we had timed out on our farm and it was time to move on. And by then we had a grandchild that was waiting in Madison for us.
So you came up here.
But
before that, and you were talking about your farm before as well, and you had also talked a lot about traveling, and I guess kind of talking about traveling to Belize through the Peace Corps a few years before that, was that?
Yeah. Just a little pitch for the Peace Corps here. If anyone out there is suffering from the empty nest syndrome as their children leave, that's what we did. We were in our 50s, and we joined the Peace Corps. And in 2002, we were sent to Belize. And we were placed in a small 1,000 people Mayan village in the very south of the country, in the, it'd be like the uplands, and it was rainforest. About 160 inches of rainfall a year.
Yeah, and we're going to kind of talk a little bit about the, like, agricultural aspect of that, but I think we have a caller right now. Evan?
We sure do, yes. Awesome. We have Catherine from Madison joining us.
Oh, great.
Hi. I'm really enjoying this program. Hello.
Hi.
Harry, I have a question for Harry, and that is, I wonder if there is much difference that he's noticed in the attitude that farmers have that in Kansas versus Wisconsin toward organic agriculture, organic farming, and the regenerative farming. I was just wondering what his experience was. And I'm really sorry to hear about your problems with the pipeline, Harry. That's terrible. But I was wondering about that other aspect too. So I'll just hang up and listen for the answer. Thanks.
Thanks for the question, Catherine.
Well, I have a good feel for it because I was my employment from 2004. And I'm still part-time employed by an organic producer cooperative of farmers in Kansas and Nebraska mainly. But I interact through a group called OFARM with farmers in Minnesota, Wisconsin, you know, really all over the upper Midwest. And there's been a huge change in the acceptance of organic. I got started in organic in the mid-70s when we were basically cranks and lunatic fringe people. And by 2000, when the National Organic Program came into being, there was an acceptance of it. And I would say now among the farming community, it's something that people want to embrace. And it's mainly because of the economic upside. You know, that's not the only draw, but it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thank you again. Sorry. And the call line's always open. But yeah, I guess getting back to kind of talking about like your experience in Belize as well, what would you say are some of the like agricultural kind of practices and just like traditions and the way that like culture and society was kind of affected your farm that you brought back to your farm?
Well, the biggest thing was the lifestyle that we integrated in. And in Peace Corps, the concept is that you go for a time and you integrate into the community that you're serving.
For sure,
And they request that you come. Mm-hmm. And in our case, they requested a couple. And so in the 2 years, you move in, establish a household. In our case, our three daughters came to visit numerous times. And so you become a neighbor, a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically blend into the community as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And in our instance, they were such welcoming people that we felt at home.
Mm-hmm.
And the agriculture was, for one thing, there was no cultivation. They basically did slash and burn. They were farming basically 1 acre to 2 acre fields of corn, beans, and rice.
You don't see that here.
And everyone, you didn't farm without family and neighbors helping you plant your corn, and then you helped them plant their corn. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing that I grasped, that this is why this works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these were poor people that didn't feel poor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were eating well, they grew nice food, they had access to land. And there was a lot of joy in the village.
Yeah.
But another interesting thing of it was that they had traditional land tenure. They did not own the land. It was in the interior of Belize, and a lot of that land was what they call crown land.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were just allowed to
live there. Yeah.
And so they used a traditional land tenure based on need rather than ownership.
Yeah.
And so I went to several of the meetings of the elders when land would be usually a young man, it's kind of patriarchal still, would come into the room with his uncle and his father, and there would be a lot of talk and discussion. And at the end of the evening, he would have his milpa, his 4 acres, and he'd be ready to go. And it seemed like a much better system to foster agriculture than the debt that you have to incur if you want to farm here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's such a difference between having that ownership over the land versus having kind of just living on the land and also seeing it as more of a communal kind of way of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things, I was in a sustainable agriculture program.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of tasked with helping them to develop a cash crop because they wanted a cash crop.
Yeah.
And what we finally lit on, and they had already been doing it, but we increased the amount of growers and the amount of production, was organic cacao.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And so, and it was genuinely organic, and that is the agroforestry aspect was beautiful to observe.
Yeah, and we'll be back soon. Thank you.